I have a beautiful queen in front of me who is Jen Drummond, a world record holder on climbing the 7-second summit, a mum of 7 kids. You're a speaker, queen entrepreneur, extreme athlete, and a boss queen. And you've just released a new book, Break Proof. Well, I know you had an accident.
I did have an accident.
What were you like before that? Who were you?
Okay, so before the accident, I was a hustler. Mm-hmm. And I think I achieved a lot of things out of fear. Fear of failure, fear of not being financially secure, fear of not being enough. And that's a fuel. That's a fuel you can use to create and obtain things. And then I owned a business. I hired myself out of a job. I started having kids. I was a stay-at-home mom because that was the golden ticket. Like if you could be a stay-at-home mom, you arrive. For my personality, probably not the best, right? I mean, I love kids. I don't love them 24/7. And I didn't know how not to be a full-time mom and how to keep my identity. So I told myself, once they go to college, I'll get back to me. But this is the season that I'm in. And then the car accident happened. And it should have taken my life, and it didn't. And it instead woke me up to, wait a minute, this game could have been over. There are so many things I want to see and do and experience and try and just know what it's like. And that changed the game.
You were to give me that one key to open up their queendom. Look at that.
Yeah.
Welcome to the queendom. And we are here with Keys to the Queendom. I'm your host, Tamara Mai. I'm so excited to be live in Los Angeles, California. I have a beautiful queen in front of me who is Jen Drummond. And I'm excited to introduce you guys. You are my first female international speaker that I've had in person.
Woohoo!
Thank you so much for being here, Queen. You are a world record holder on climbing the 7-second summit.
Yep.
A mum of 7 kids. You're a speaker.
Yep.
You're an entrepreneur, a queen entrepreneur, extreme athlete, and a boss queen. And you've just released a new book,
yes.
Break Proof. Thank you for being on the show.
I'm so excited.
I am so grateful to have you. And I feel like this is going to be great for the women listening to know more of your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been through a lot.
Yes. Yes.
Let us know what that story is, Queen.
Yes. So we can take you back to, where do you want to start?
Well, I know you had an accident.
I did have an accident.
What were you like before that? Who were you?
Okay, so before the accident, I was a hustler, right? And I think I achieved a lot of things out of fear. Fear of failure, fear of not being financially secure, fear of not being enough. Yeah. And that's a fuel, right? That's a fuel you can use to create and obtain things. And then I owned a business. I hired myself out of a job. I started having kids. I was a stay-at-home mom because that was the golden ticket. Like if you could be a stay-at-home mom, you arrived.
Mm.
For my personality, probably not the best, right? I mean, I love kids. I don't love them 24/7. And I didn't know how not to be a full-time mom and how to keep my identity while being a mom. So I told myself, once they go to college, I'll get back to me. But this is the season that I'm in.
Yeah.
And then the car accident happened. And it should have taken my life, and it didn't. And it instead woke me up to, wait a minute, like this game could have been over. There are so many things I want to see and do and experience and try and just know what it's like, right? And that changed the game. I told the kids, I'm like, listen, mommy's going to start doing her and you and these other things.
Yeah.
And we're just going to have to talk through the transition because I don't know when I'm going to die, but I do know I can live today. And that's the choice I have.
Now, before that, were you ever afraid of death?
I don't know if I really was, right? Yeah. Like, you just don't think about it,
not
right?
At all.
You're like, oh, it's going to happen someday, but I have all this time. I have all this time. And then when I faced it, I was like, man, I don't have all this time.
Mm.
And after the accident, I spent a year like putting together a bucket list. Yeah. What do I want to do? What do I want to see? What do I want to experience? Where do I want to go? What do I want to taste? And it's going to take 4 lifetimes, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's going to take a while to make all this stuff happen. Yes.
It's a very powerful message for not only women, but moms as well, who they put their kids before themselves. So this car accident was almost like this opportunity for you to go, okay, Jen, now it's time for you to do something different with your life. What does that look like?
Yes.
And did you know, once you wrote that bucket list, the first thing you wanted to do was a few trial and errors there?
Yeah, no. So what happened was I was looking at my list. 2020, I was turning 40. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, if I'm turning 40 in 2020, looking at my list, I'm going to climb a mountain. Mm. I'm going to climb a mountain to like launch this next decade and signify like the importance of it and whatever else. So I asked some friends, I'm like, hey, if you could climb one mountain in the whole world, what would it be? And some of my mountaineering friends said, Ama de Blom. I'm like, Ama de Blom? They're like, yeah, it's a mountain in Nepal in the Himalayas. It's the Paramount Pictures logo. It means the mother's necklace. I'm like, okay, this all sounds perfect. So I start training for Ama and COVID happens. So I am a homeschool teacher to 7 children because they shut down all the schools and I'm not traveling anywhere or climbing any mountain anytime soon, right? One day my son is complaining about his math homework. Mm. I'm giving him the pep talk, like, we do hard things. You've got this. Like, I know it. And he looks at me and he goes, if we do hard things, why are you climbing a mountain called I'm a Dumb Blonde instead of a real mountain like Mount Everest? I'm like, Ama de Blom, not I'm a Dumb Blonde. But thank you, sweetheart. Finish your homework. We'll look at Everest. So he did his homework and then we looked at Everest and then he went to bed. And then I was still looking at Everest and I thought, you know what? Why not Everest? If he thinks this is the hardest mountain in the whole world, I'm going to climb it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show him that whatever his Everest is, he can climb.
Yeah. I love that because, one, how old is he?
He's 9.
No way.
Yeah.
And he said to you guys, I think you can do better.
Yeah. You know, like he just didn't know what Ama was. So he had no idea. Like Ama de Blom is harder than Everest.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know. So to him, his perception is like, well, if we do hard things, then you should do Everest because Everest has to be the hardest because it's the tallest.
Yeah.
Right.
And so run me through what happened after that.
Yeah. Right. So I call a coach. I'm training for Everest and Ama. And the coach gives me a book. And it's about becoming an uphill athlete. I was an athlete, but I wasn't a mountaineer. Mm. I'd never slept in a tent. I wasn't like, this was all going to be new. And in the front of the book, there was a lady who got a Guinness World Record for doing something in the Alps. And I remember thinking, I could have done that. Mm. Like, are you kidding me? My kids learned how to read and Guinness World Record books. So if I got a Guinness World Record, my kids would think I'm cool. And right now, not cool. Like this homeschooling thing, zero coolness about mom teaching us how to do our homework. And so I was talking to my coach and he's like, I'll think of something. I'll find you a Guinness World Record. I said, okay, but I'm not like growing long fingernails or growing a pumpkin or speed eating hot dogs or like all the weird things that you see in the record book. He's like, oh, no, I'll think of something. So he called me back a few weeks later and he's like, Jen, I have the perfect record for you. I'm like, what? Okay, like, what is it? He's like, I think you should be the first woman to climb the 7-second summits. I'm like, what are those? I don't even know what that is. He's like, well, it's the second highest point on each of the 7 continents. Mm. It's been done by one male. It's harder than the first 7, so it's super respected in the mountaineering community. And if you think about it, 7 continents, 7 mountains, 7 children, it sounds like a jackpot. I'm like, it does kind of sound like a jackpot. I'll look at it. So I looked at it. I talked about my kids with it. I'm like, I'm doing it. Like, I'm all about travel, trying new things. Mm. I wanted to empower women. Like I was alive. I'm like, let's wake up and let's do us. Like no longer putting us on hold. Yeah. We matter too. And the pursuit started.
My branding just went, ooh, there you go, 777. So very much that your coach was on top of that.
Yes.
Was he a coach specifically for mountain climbing or was he prior to that? Yeah.
So his name is Alan Arnett. Yeah. He's in the United States. People hire him from all over the world to train them and to help them find what climbing company, what type of mountains they should climb first. You know, he's just a wealth of knowledge in that arena.
Yeah, beautiful. And yes. So you were a professional athlete, an athlete before?
I was an athlete before.
What were you doing then?
Yeah, so I grew up doing gymnastics for a little bit, which gave me body awareness. Mm-hmm. Then I played soccer for a long time. And soccer gives you that speed and then the endurance, right? Like all the things. And then once I had kids and I was trying to get involved in the community, I got into triathlon. So I had the endurance piece. Yeah. right? So looking back, I had all the pieces of the puzzle. I just had never gotten into mountaineering, but it gave me a really strong foundation and let me like springboard forward into the sport.
I think a lot of things in life is all about building that foundation. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful to hear that you had those beautiful pieces. It's almost like connecting the dots. Right?
Yeah, right. And you can connect them looking back. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'd never slept in a tent before when I signed up for this thing. So it wasn't like, hey, I'm doing gymnastics so I can be a mountaineer someday. But it worked out.
It's nice to hear that too, because I used to be a professional dancer, lead into fitness professionally. So it's beautiful to hear that how you were back then can always lead you to other bigger things. And, you know, coming into you then stepping into the world of becoming a mountain climber.
Yeah.
You've made that decision.
Yes.
You told your kids. What was the next step with that?
Yeah, so the next step was identifying what I needed to do for each of the mountains and where I was weak in my training.
Yeah, beautiful.
And start taking little baby steps towards building that into a strength instead of a weakness. The first climb I did was in Chile. It's named Ojos del Salado. It's a volcano. Mm. It's one of the easier ones. And I was climbing right when COVID was done, right? Mm. So a lot of the countries I was going into, we were the first expedition team back.
Amazing.
Yeah. So a lot of it was, why did you climb this mountain? Well, that's what was open. Yep. You know, Kenya wasn't open yet, or Australia wasn't open yet, or whatever like that. And so I did that one first. I actually didn't like it. It's climbing a volcano is like climbing a anthill, right? There's nothing visual. Every step you take, you slide half a step down, right? Like you're climbing a sand dune almost, but it's this rocky, loose pieces of rock. And then you have like just nothing visually stimulating, right? It's like this endless treadmill of going up a mountain and you're like, looks the same. Are we making progress? It looks like time went by, so we must be making progress, but it doesn't really feel like we're making progress. So it felt like a little bit of a death march. And it was really windy. Gosh. I had no idea how windy it was going to be. Like, I grew up in Michigan. We went sailing, so you had wind.
Yeah.
But this was in the Atacama Desert. So you have this volcano that pokes out of all this desert. And so then what happens is when the sun comes out, it heats the land. Mm. When the sun goes down, all the heat escapes, because there's nothing holding it in. And so literally when the sun started to come out, it'd start to heat the air, which then cycle the air, right?
Yeah.
And the whole day you'd be like, I'm like, oh my God, this is a wind tunnel. This is punishment. This is so bad. How do I get out of this? Because it wasn't consistent. Mm. It was these weird sounds the entire time. You're just like, one step, two step. This is insane. But yeah.
I love that, because, you know, you've obviously just came out of COVID. You're like, I'm really excited for this new venture. I'm changing my life. I'm taking on a really bold, scary thing. I'm taking risks. And then it's like, wow, I'm hitting me in my face. That obviously would have been throughout your journey climbing the Seven Summits.
Yeah.
More setbacks.
Yes.
Right? So you trained your body to a point at peak level. What about your mindset? And what were the things you worked on throughout your journey with that?
Queen, how often have you said, I spent my whole life studying, I've been to school my whole life, and I've actually learned nothing that teaches me the tools and strategies to build a successful business in the outside world? You've probably spent thousands of dollars on courses, or you've heard fake news from business gurus. Well, I'm here to give this incredible news to everyone here right now, that this is Queen Stream University. Get out of debt and actually start making money in the online space, knowing and having the foundations to build a successful business. Now, I'm talking because I have gone through the trenches. I have been a fitness coach, built my online business as a pro athlete, and now I am a business coach. You'll go from having absolutely no idea what your business is through, in the 8 weeks, learn the foundations of knowing what your purpose is, your vision and mission, and also understanding your business values with the execution to know what that business is. You'll also learn branding, social media, content strategy, marketing, and more importantly, how to sell. With Queen Stream University, it'll cut out the bullshit and remove all the fluff and get you working specifically on your business so you can execute this in 8 weeks to get ready to launch. I wanted you to have something where you get to access something straight away, where you get to fast track your growth, as well as remove any doubt, any overwhelming sensation or stress or the question that everyone seems to ask, where do I begin? With Queenstream University, you'll be able to build wealth, freedom, and at the end of the day, be an entrepreneur and be able to say, I have finally built my own thing, my own business, and I've stopped making money for someone else, and I'm now making money for my own empire. Queenstream University.
Yeah, I would say in all mountaineering expeditions, the mindset's more important than the physical. Like 100% what goes on between these years matters more than what goes on here. Luckily, having 7 children really trains you and mindset and like holding your calm and just understanding, well, this is what's happening. This is my story. So how do we navigate this story that's showing up right now? Also, like there's things that happen while you're climbing that give you little stories to keep on speed dial. So then when you're in another situation, you're like, oh, wait, let's try to change the lens or let's do something different. So an example would be when I was on Mount Logan. Mount Logan's the second highest point in North America. So it's my home base mountain, which I thought would be the easiest and ended up being the hardest. So go figure that out. But we were in a snowstorm hiking one day and it was a low light. So when it's low light, you wear a pink lens. And when it's a bright light, you wear like a sunglass lens, right? So I'm wearing these pink goggles because it allows you to see depth and everything. And I kind of get lost in my brain and I feel like I'm in a cotton candy machine. I'm like, all this snow is cotton candy blowing around, swirling and whatever. And the rope that I was attached to looked green through the lenses. Right. And so then I'm thinking of a watermelon rind and I'm thinking that song like watermelon sugar high. And I'm like having a blast going up this mountain. Well, then all of a sudden my alarm goes off on my phone because you have to be reminded to eat because you don't get hungry at altitude for some reason, but you still need the calories. You still need the energy to be able to continue. So the alarm goes off, the team stops, we kind of collect together. I go to lift my glasses up to get something out of my backpack. And the minute I took my glasses off, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, interesting. The lens of...
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm like, how long have we been in the snowstorm? Like, are we moving? Should we be moving? Maybe we should set up a camp. And like, all my energy was gone.
Yeah.
Right? I had all the energy in the world 2 seconds before. I took off those lenses. Everything was zapped out. And everybody that I was with was like, what are you talking about? This has been like this for the last 2 hours. Like, where have you been? I'm like... In cotton candy land.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'm going to tell you. And it was in that story that I realized, like, when we set a goal to go from point A to point B, and it's hard, like, maybe you need to just stop a second and change your perspective and change your lens and what you're looking at, because I don't think it needs to be hard. I think there's other choices.
Just like coming back to your car accident you were wearing prior to that, you were a different gen, different lenses on.
Yes.
Now you, the new version after that. So this obviously was a beautiful shift in perspective, adapting and pivoting. You know, what were probably the hardest moments for you throughout the 7 summits?
I had a teammate die.
Really?
Yeah. Shit. It was a big shit. Yes.
You can swear on this, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. I'm like, okay, so I was climbing K2. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's into mountaineering a little bit, K2 is like the savage mountain per National Geographic. 25% of the people that go to climb it die on the way down. So it's got a huge statistics against you. So just going there is intimidating, right? The statistics are better now, just to let you know, because more people have climbed it and we've had less fatalities. But I was on a team. I was climbing a day ahead of my team because there wasn't enough campsites to put tents. So we were like, okay, you're going to go higher because then it frees up the tents for the team.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, perfect. I can stay a day ahead. And so we got up in the morning. I'm standing on the side of the mountain. I'm holding on to the climbing rope. My porters are behind me and I get a radio call. And then when you get a radio call, you have 15 minutes to get to a safe spot and call back and say, hey, how is everything or what's going on or what do you need to let us know? Second call comes in, third call comes in, fourth call comes in within like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you're like, you know, something's wrong. And I'd been there so long that you hear avalanches in the background, like as if you're bowling, right? Or you're in a thunderstorm. You just hear them. You don't think about them. That's what happens in the mountains in the morning because the sun starts to hit at an angle, heats the snow up and the snow falls. So we stop, I hand the radio over to the porters. They're talking. I'm straining to understand what's going on, even though I don't speak Pakistani. They hand me the radio, and in broken English, Jen Rick's dead, Jordy's injured, and Stefan's stuck. And I'm like, what? Like, this had nowhere to land. Mm. Like, you plan for things, right? And you strategize for whatever's going on, but there was no plan for this. And so I'm just sitting there thinking, like, how did someone die? Like, what happened? Like, why? And blah, 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 blah. Well, another team came and caught up to us while we were kind of figuring out what to do. And they started saying, like, Jen. I realized they're talking to me because I had so much conversation going on internally in my head. I'm like, yeah. Like, hey, we're going to go up the mountain. Do you want to join our team? Because your team's going down. I'm like, do I want to join your team? Yeah, no, I don't want to join your team. Yeah, well. My teammate is injured. My other one's like dead. I need to go take care of my people. Mm. So I changed the devices. We started going down the mountain. Exiting Pakistan was harder than entering. And I swear the most perilous part of the whole thing, but we'll save that story for another day. And I land in LA. I get home. My kids come home a couple days later because they were at camp. And they're like, Mom, did you summit? And I said, no, but I had success. And they looked at me and like, what are you talking about? I'm like, who we are as people is so much more important than what we achieve. Mm. And while I didn't summit the mountain, I got to show up as somebody I'm proud of. Like, I got to be a teammate and do what we're supposed to do. And I just want you to know, like, this lesson that I had. And they're like, okay, all right, that makes sense. And then I had a train to go back. The worst part about these expeditions is like, now you know.
Yeah.
Now I know what I'm walking into. And so that was hard. Yeah. And I'm like, why do I need to go back? Why did I set up this goal? Like, what am I thinking? And then about 3 weeks before I left, I get a phone call. And they're like, hey, Jen, are you coming back this year? I'm like, yeah, I am. You know, I'm going to get it this year. We're going to have better luck. Like, there's a Pakistani female that's been training to climb this mountain, but she doesn't have the resources. Do you think you can help? I'm like, of course I can help. So I come over with some gear and some different things that are needed. I go to climb K2, I summit. And 30 minutes later, the first Pakistani female stands on top of her country's prized peak. And I'm a waterwork mess, right? I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I stuck with this thing.
Love that.
Because the universe uses us to make more possible. And so for those of you that are listening and you've had an obstacle or a setback or a failure that you're wondering, like, how do I continue on? Mm. I'm just letting you know that maybe you're still on your climb. Maybe you're not where you need to be in your mind because the universe has more for you and needs you to be a part of a bigger story than what you originally stepped into. Because that's what happened to me. I mean, I had zero intention of that. And I'm humbled that gets to be part of my story that I carry forward.
I love that you bring forward. I talk a lot about the universe guiding me.
Yes.
It guided me here. And I was speaking to everyone I've been able to speak to today. I've been having so much self-doubt being here. Yet I know that there's a reason for me being here, just like you had a reason for you to be on that mountain for that beautiful Pakistan lady there.
Yes.
That summit. And just quickly before we move on to this next piece that I'm coming into, once you finish the summit, is that the next summit? When did you complete the 7? Was that the 7th one?
No. So it took me 9 attempts to climb 7 mountains.
Yeah, wow.
My first one was in December of 2020.
Yeah.
And my last one was June 1st of 2023.
Wow.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Holy fuck.
Yes. Yes.
What did you do when you celebrated?
You know, it's surreal, right? There's a part of you that's actually sad because you had this purpose, you had this thing that you were training for and working towards and achieving, and then all of a sudden you're done and you're like, wow, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm only sharing that because whether you're climbing physical mountains or metaphorical ones, like, there is a letdown when you get to that spot. And it's just part of it. I'm obviously ecstatic. I'm humbled that this story got to come through my life. I'm grateful that I had the courage to break free of my limiting beliefs and the stories that were holding me into a position that wasn't using my talents to the best ability, which is why I wrote the book. But yeah, life's pretty magic.
I want to touch on your book because this is an amazing achievement as well. Yes. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Tell us more about the book and what it's about, obviously your story, but I know that there's strategies and frameworks in there for people.
Yeah. So I've built a very successful business that I got to hire myself out of a job. I still own the company, but I'm not running the day-to-day.
Finances, right?
Finances, yep. And then I got into the mountaineering thing. And I was on the mountains. I was like, man, there's so many of these lessons that apply to family, that apply to business, that apply to your personal self. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take people on these journeys. So each of this, there's seven strategies. So what I do is I take you on each one of my climbs, let you kind of be in that moment, feel the experience, pull the lesson out. And then give you some areas like, okay, how does this apply to your life? How do you use it to set yourself free and step into who you are? And I'll be honest, it's kind of selfish because I know when you're doing you, that ripple effect benefits me.
Yeah.
And so the more we can encourage and cheer each other on and say like, hey, whatever's in here is special to you, you need to do it. Like we're all so unique, even though we're the same.
Yeah.
So the lessons in the book are just to help you have the resilience when things get hard to continue because they're going to get hard.
I think as well, it's Breakpoint, right?
Breakproof.
Breakproof. And guys listening, please make sure we'll put it in the description for you, Jen, because you've been an absolute gen. When it comes back to hardships, one of my biggest mantras is embracing hardships. I find a lot of people will either see it as a negative or go, why is this happening to me? You know, this is victim mentality. I feel like with everything you've gone through from point A to point B with bringing this beautiful book in order for people out there to hear your story, I think it's a powerful message for people to embrace hardships.
Yeah.
Did you always embrace it from the beginning?
No, right? Yeah. Like you resist.
Yeah.
So here's the unique thing about my car accident is...
Hey, beautiful kings and queens. Are you right now in a space where you're ready to take action and build your business, yet you struggle where to begin? You're feeling stuck and overwhelmed with all the things you need to do when it comes to building a business. Build the business of your dreams in the online space and be in the arena of all the incredible, great humans out there that are building 7 to 8 figure businesses. Now, the foundations that I truly believe in that you are going to learn through this membership is sales, marketing, content creation, social media, money mindset, and of course, branding. Now, all of this will be accessible for you to be learning what is currently hot right now in the market and how you can create your own business and build a successful business in the online space. All you have to do right now is DM Empire in my Instagram or email myself and my team, and we will get the ball rolling so you can have your empire and start making moves in the online space.
2 months prior to my car accident, someone gave me the book, The Surrender Experiment. And I had always thought of the word surrender as a weakness. Right? Like, how do you surrender? Like, that's giving up. That's like caving. That's all these things. And when I read the book, it really positioned surrender as a superpower. And so I journaled on that topic for 2 months, just wrestling with how I was defining it and what it was meaning for me. To at the end, I'm like, okay, surrender truly is a superpower. And then I get into this car accident. And I get to put that work to test, right? The universe is saying, like, if I would have resisted and tried to fight that car accident, I would have lost. The fact that when I watched that car hit and I saw it happen, I'm like, okay, the only way I'm going to survive is if I surrender and I roll with the car and allow the car to do its thing, and then I'm going to be okay. And the police called me 3 weeks after the accident. And they said, we need some more facts from you because we cannot build a scenario where you live, let alone walk away.
Wow.
So we must have something wrong. I'm like, you have nothing wrong. I just surrendered and I allowed it to be what it was. And then I moved on. And I think the superpower in life is being like, okay, here's what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
how do I, like, how is that serving me? What am I learning? What is it teaching me? And how do I carry on? Mm. And we can tie it back to the mountains. I thought when you went to climb a mountain, like Mount Everest, it took forever. And you just started at the base and then you worked your way up to the top and then you came back down. I learned that you actually do this thing called acclimatizing. Okay, so what happens is you go from base camp to camp one and you will be wiped out because there's no oxygen up there, right? And your body can't handle that lack of oxygen environment. So you get stressed out, your body's freaking out, and you come back down to base camp. About 3 days later, your body has physiologically changed and it has produced more red blood cells.
Wow.
So now that you have more red blood cells, you can operate in a lesser oxygenated environment. Mm. So then you go back up the mountain, you get to camp one, and you're like, oh, this is no big deal. Yeah. My body's adjusted. Now I can go to camp two. And then you might go back to camp one. Like, you inchworm up so that you stress your body out to where it can't go any further. You come back down so it can recover. And then you go further on. And so if you're on a pursuit of something and you hit a wall, you're acclimatizing.
Yeah.
Right? Go back home. Take the lesson. Learn the thing. Understand, like, what's a better strategy so that you can go higher up the mountain the next time. And let's be honest. Like, if we can go from point A to point B with no struggle, it's not even exciting.
It's boring.
It's boring. We're not interested. So, like, if you're having a hard time, like, I don't know what I want to do. I'm not really interested, blah, 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 blah. You're not thinking big enough.
Yeah.
You need to think big enough where it's like you're excited to go do the thing. And who cares if you summit? Like, one of the things in the book is sometimes the goal is not the goal.
What is your favorite chapter of the book?
Probably the intro. I do. I like the intro.
Why is that?
It just tells a story right off the bat that I think hits home for all of us. Mm. You know, a lot of times people will look at me and they're like, well, you have this and I don't, or you have that and I don't. Like, my goal is to take all, like, that's your excuse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're all the same. Anything that you're doing to separate me from you is a wall that you're building to cut you off from being whatever you want to be.
I really resonate with you as well. You this beautiful person in front of me, but you're so authentic.
Yeah.
You're so kind. You've got a beautiful story. I would never pass judgment like that. Whoever is doing that to you, fuck them.
Yes. Isn't it funny?
I don't know what it is, like, why people are like that. But I'm excited to get this book. For everyone listening, please make sure you get it. For anyone that's on the fence when it comes to sort of like, what if I haven't gone through this, you know, traumatic event? What if, you know?
Please don't.
Yeah.
Okay, like, please.
That's great.
Yes. May that be your story. I would love that for all of you. We are writing this book so that you do not get in a car crash and wake up. 1000%.
But what if they're feeling comfortable in their life? You know, I feel like, you know, you've gone through stretching yourself and stretching yourself and stretching yourself, and you found this beautiful world you're in now where you're helping other people, you're serving. You know, you're learning lessons from the universe, and now you're accepting and surrendering when things come your way. So women right now who are listening, who are sort of in that fence of comfortability, they haven't really gone through those big traumatic events, but they know that there's more out there for them, but they're not sure how to get there. What would that advice you'd give those beautiful women listening?
Yes. Get curious, right? Like, just start to do new things. Drive to the supermarket a different way. Mm. Brush your teeth with your opposite hand. figure out what your favorite food is. Like, start getting particular. Be fussy. Mm. Be high maintenance. Like, say, like, hey, have things that are unique to you. Mm. Right? Like, I love raspberries. I do. They're $4.99 in the grocery store at certain times of the year. And they're $2.99 when they're on sale. I'll buy them when they're $2.99. When they're $4.99, I'm like, no, we're going to pass. Yet, like, all the other things I'll buy are, like, obnoxious. And so then all of a sudden one day I'm like, really, Jen? You're not going to do something that makes you happy or that you really like because of $2? Mm. Where, like, over a whole course of a year, that's $100 US. I mean, come on. You blow $100 US on, like, an Uber, right? And so, like, start getting curious of where you're limiting your pleasure for things that really don't need to be limited. And then once you start leaning into things that get you excited and turn you on and get you on a waking up in the day, like you're going to want more of that. And then you're going to think bigger and dream bigger and do whatever. And there is a season of hustle and there is a season of rest. And honor where you are, celebrate that journey and understand like, okay, maybe I'm in a season of rest and that's okay. But when it's time to get out there again, don't skip out on that part of it.
Once you finished your climb and you came back and you're humbled from the experience, and then it was kind of like, well, what's next?
Yes.
What's been that next thing for you?
Yeah, right. Everybody asks, yeah. Hey, what's next? What's next? And I'm like, you want to know what? I think our world is always asking what's next. Yeah. And I think about people when they ask my kids, like, where are you going to college? Where are you going to college? I'm like, how about we ask them, what do they like best about their life right now? Why don't we change the question? So for me, it's been, I'm giving myself a year to not pick anything next and just be okay with where I'm at and understand that there's a lot of great things that I get to process and become without doing.
Being,
right? We're human beings, not human doings, even though we convince ourselves that we're human doings, and learning how to feel amazing without achieving. It's been a part of like a goal of mine because it's easy for me to feel good when I'm achieving, but how do I keep that feeling when I'm just being? And that's my journey right now.
That really resonates. Beautiful. I went from a very hustle mentality to now just seeing what life throws at me in a sense of whatever gets pulled for me to do something, me being here, I'm going to go with it. But I find a lot of entrepreneurs are in that hustle mentality where it's kind of like, either they don't want to deal with their shit, they don't want to deal with their internal world, they don't want to heal. Healing's another journey I'm going through right now.
It's a thing. It's an onion that keeps undoing and undoing and undoing, and it's so much easier to hustle through it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And like, suppress.
And suppress and just not peel back that layer. I talk about it with skiing. There's a point in a turn where you're going straight down the hill, and so people like to rush the turn. Because they don't like that uncomfortable feeling for that second where you're going straight down and free falling. And I'm always like telling myself, don't rush the turn. Don't rush the turn. Allow yourself to feel this experience so that you get through it instead of like not process it. Because it shows up again, as I'm sure you realize, until it screams so loud you hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's either, what do they say? A feather, a bus, or a train.
Yes.
Let's not get to the train.
Don't do the train, please, friends. Don't do the train.
Jen, I've got two more questions. Thank
please.
You so much. I was going to say seven, but I didn't want to freak you out. This podcast is all about building an empire.
Mm-hmm.
Women and men building their empires. What does that empire look like for you? Or what does empire mean to you?
Yeah. I will tell you, before it meant financial success. Right? Like, because it's such an easy thing to measure.
Yeah.
So I think those of us that are listening, we really have, we like numbers as humans. And so how are you measuring the other areas of your life? And what does that look like? So you can say that, hey, I'm winning in this category. It's hard to feel like you're winning when you're not measuring something. So for me, it's very much, am I contributing to the well-being of others? And if my empire is doing that and pulling people together to make more possible, I'm winning.
Couldn't have said it better myself. No. I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time with you tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, I always ask my beautiful queens that come on the show this one question. And that is, if you were to give me that one key.
Yeah.
Even though that was what you said so beautifully. It was just that one piece for that listener right now, that key. To open up their queendom, what would that key be for them?
Yeah. I think you need to love yourself for who you are and the journey that you're on. Because when you love yourself, you teach us how to love you. And the only person that's cutting you off from love is yourself. So if you're not feeling it, if you're not feeling supported, if you're not feeling loved, that's an internal question to get curious about. And here's what I do. I have a red light by my house, okay? This red light used to drive me batty because I'm like, I need to get somewhere. Why are you always red? And I realized the only thing that's angry is me with this red light. So I turn this red light into a gratitude light. And so now every time I get the red light, it's my cue to go into my gratitude list and start thinking of things I'm thankful for. And it just brings me back to my moment. Instead of being an autopilot and letting life run, I'm starting to take control again. And we take control by interrupting, because we a lot of times just do, right? Like you go to the grocery store and you're like, I don't even know how I got here, but here I am. I don't, like, it's so autopilot. So if there's one thing you can do, give yourself some trigger meditations. Maybe it's touching a door handle, and every single time you touch a door handle, you say, I love you. Maybe it's getting out of the shower, and every single time you put lotion on your body, you take a little more time and you just say, thank you, body, for doing these wonderful things for me. Thank you for being here so that I can live my life. Maybe it's setting an alarm. I have an alarm at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that says Super Mom. It reminds me that 3 in the afternoon, my kids come home, and that's the role that I'm supposed to step into, and gets me out of work mode and gets me back into Super Mom mode. Like, anything you can do to disrupt you from being you and be more intentional of how you show up is going to be the biggest gift you can give yourself and all of us.
Jen, I have to ask then, what is that one thing you're grateful for right now?
Life, right? I don't get to choose when I die, but I get to choose how I live. And so every day I have a choice, and that choice is where the magic lives.
Jen Drummond, it's been a Queen Energy delicious podcast with you. Thank you so much for coming on here. For the listeners and for myself, we'll have all the descriptions. Where can we find you? How can we get in touch about your book? Please drop in anything for us.
Yay, I'm here.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone listening. This is Keys to the Queen. This energy right now just feels really authentic, feels really juicy. And again, thank you so much for being here. I'm Tamara Meyer, your host. Thank you so much. And I'll see you guys next week.